Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Tzadi Zayin, the 97th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. Let's take a quick look at this. This is, of course, familiar to us. It is part of our Kabbalah's Shabbos every Friday night. And I'm trying to understand what we're saying, what's really going on in this Mizmor. It consists of, in terms of overview and structure, it consists of 12 psukim, and it's divided into three rough sections. The first six psukim talk about the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Almighty in the world. The next section runs from Zion to Tess, 7 to 9, in which it describes the embarrassment of the nations of the world at such time. And finally, the last three psukim, which is Yud to Yud Beis, 10 to 12, is the reward for those who love Hashem, and an admonition for them to hate evil. The content and the theme of this Mizmor is that the Mesharer, the narrator, begins with talking about the revelation of Hashem in this world. And this revelation is so powerful and so impactful that it's going to actually affect the natural world around us. It will be so fearsome, mountains will be melting, whether that refers to volcanoes or literally melting, and the clouds of darkness will be descending. So we hear words like, Heiru verakov tevel ra'asov atochel ha'aretz, there's going to be lightning, the whole world will see and be in fear. Horim kadonag namasu, the mountains are melting. Melting Ilifnei Hashem, Ilifnei Adon Kol Aretz, as the master of the universe makes himself known. Upon the arrival of Hashem, we move into the next section where Hashem talks about how they'll be deflated and they'll be embarrassed because of this. Yevoishu kol ovdei pesel hamisalelim bo'elilim. Though they spend all their time investing in all these other deities, all these other false gods, they're going to be terribly embarrassed. But the tzaddikim, shomat tzvatismach tziyama tagalna menos Yehuda, that the righteous will be uplifted, they will rejoice. The same redemption or the same revelation is creating very opposite of feelings over here. You know, it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes a conversation between the bat and the rooster. And the day is going to come for both of them, but for one it'll be very good, and for the other one it'll be the end of its day, it'll be not so good. And that's really what's happening over here. For the tzaddikim, it's going to, when the day comes, when Hashem reveals himself, it'll be really good, but for those who pride themselves in darkness and night, it's going to be a very dismal time for them. And finally, there's a call, the end of it, to those who love Hashem, or Ohavei Hashem Sinura, Shomer Nafshos Chasidav, Miyad Rishayim Yatzilem Hashem, there's a call to them to hate evil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately repay their judgment. It is interesting that Al-Sheikh does make notice in his commentary on Tehillim called Romemus Kel. He says a beautiful thing, that when at the beginning of this Mizmor, when it says that Hashem will rule over the whole land, Yismchu Irim Rabim, that the many islands will celebrate, he points out that this could mean one of two things. It could mean the entire world, even the most far out islands, or it could be because there's going to be admonition of those who hated Israel, those who took advantage of Jews over history, then the only people who will be guiltless will be the Irim. There will be these far out islands, the Iyam Rabim, which were not affected or not part of anti-Semitism or torturing the Jews throughout Jewish history. It is worthwhile noticing that there is a mila mancha, which is a word which repeats itself, or a theme which repeats itself, and that is the word simcha. Simcha appears a number of times. Yismuchu Iyam Rabim, uli Yishreilev simcha, simchu tzadikim, which appears many times, and its partner word is togel. Togel Aretz or Togel Nabonos Yehuda. There's a lot of rejoicing which is to be found in this Mizmor. Another Mila Mancha, another word which appears numerous times, is also the word Haaretz, the land. Worthwhile thinking about why it appears all four times that it does. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, Rav Amos Chacham points out that it sounds like it is a continuation of the previous two Mizmorim, which were seemingly said at a group in a group setting when people are coming up ostensibly to the base of Mikdash. Maybe it was Aliyah Regel, and the Levium or the people who are the leaders are talking to the rest of the people and giving them directions. And this, it sounds like a capstone of those directions which are given to the people standing there in this group. Rashi and the Chida do point out that this may refer to a metaphor about the destruction of Amalek, about the destruction of the evil in the world. That is, looking at this from a much darker perspective, and therefore the dominion of Hashem being filled in this world is in a certain sense a response to the lacking in this world, which is metaphorically encapsulated by Amalek. And so Hashem ruling this world with his throne full, with his name full, is in the absence of evil, which seems like it's in the future date. The Malbim says that this Mizmor is referring to a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will interact with this world through nature, which means to say that it'll be obvious when people are doing the right thing. People do the right thing and there'll be blessing, there'll be physical blessing in this world. Not miraculously, but through the natural course of events. So the rules itself will reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions, which sometimes seems a little harder, a little more obscure to see today, but that will be ultimately how it is, which is why the Malbim says that this Mizmor is operating in general principles. A nes, a miracle, will always help specific individuals, but not the entire world. But when Hashem is seen throughout nature, the entire world will benefit klali, communally from this. It is worthwhile also noting as a fourth possibility in terms of understanding who it is about, what event it is about. The Radak did note at the beginning of this whole section of Mizmorim, starting from Tzadi, from Mizmor Tzadi, which was Tevila LeMoshe, that this each of these next 12 or 11 were reflecting a different tribe that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to at the end of his days. And this Mizmor Tzadi Zion, is reflecting the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, who were the first to conquer the land of Israel. In fact, the leader, Yehoshua, was from the tribe of Ephraim, and Manasseh already made conquests or was given land on the east bank of the Jordan. So part of the establishment of the dominion of Israel in the land of Israel is reflected in this, where Hashem is ruling through these nations vicariously. In terms of the places in Adavning, it appears that, as we are clearly aware of, this is the third of six Mizmorim which appear at the beginning of Kabbalah's Shabbos, as we bring in Shabbos. It is also, more recently has been adapted and adopted with Mizmor Tzadi Ches, the 90th Mizmor, to be said on the night of Yom HaAtzmaut in the Nusach in many shuls that celebrate in using these Tehillim before Maariv. In terms of words of Psukim in the spotlight, Pasuk Yud Aleph is very fascinating. Pasuk Yud Aleph is Or Zaruah La Tzadik, that there is this hidden light to the Tzadik. What is this hidden light to the Tzadik? What is this referring to? So it is interesting that Al-Sheikh says that sometimes you look around in the world, you see really good people, and it doesn't look like so much good is happening to them. So this is a promise that ultimately is being put into the savings account, and we're going to see it at the end of the day being paid up. It's zaruah, it's invested for the tzaddik at the end of days when it'll be seen. This could also relate to the Or HaGanuz LaTzadikim, the hidden light at the beginning of creation, which was hidden away for tzaddikim at the end of time. Last thing just to focus on is Pasuk Yud, and that is where we say, Ohave Hashem Sinu Ra, that those who love Hashem hate evil. Rav Hirsch points out that in the future it's going to be so imminent, it's going to be so clear that Hashem is the Ribono Shel Olam, is the master of the universe, that it'll be easier for people, to good people, to hate that which is evil and not be scared to say what needs to be said. There's a story told of Rav Kook that it was in 1929, just after the massacre which occurred in Yerushalayim and Hebron, where many Jews were killed by the Arabs, and the British police did very little to, in fact, stop the Arab riots, stop the killing of elderly people, of children, of women, which was done at which was really instigated by Haj Al-Amin Husseini, Yimach Shemoi V'Zichroi, the Mufti of Yerushalayim. And the chief rabbi, Rav Kook, called up the British leader at the time, who was the director of the national, who was the director, the commissioner in the British Mandate of Palestine. His name was Harry Luke at the time, and demanded that he do something. And the man says, "What can we do?" Luke asked. Rav Kook's response was, "Shoot the murderers." And the response of the commissioner was, "I have no such orders." "And I'm commanding you," shouted Rav Kook, "in the name of humanity's moral conscience, I demand this." And of course, nothing was done. The Jews were killed in the streets. Later on, at a ceremony, Rav Kook attended a ceremony, and Mr. Luke, the High Commissioner, a very powerful man at the time, held out his hand to Rav Kook, and Rav Kook actually refused to shake it. He explained, "I do not shake hands defiled with Jewish blood." And there's this notion of Rav Kook was widely criticized by some people in the Jewish community, who said that he shouldn't have taken such a strong stance on the situation. But nonetheless, what Rav Kook was demonstrating was Ayave Hashem Sinara. Those who love Hashem cannot tolerate evil, cannot tolerate the fact that somebody could, in fact, in this particular case, may have even aided and abetted, rather than just even being neutral in this particular case, while people were being murdered in the streets. And this is perhaps a inkling of what Geula will look like, where we're able to say what we really truly understand is right and wrong, and not be scared to be diplomatic when there's truth and when there's life on the line. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.